For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. When the celebrated maker of string instruments, Antonio Stradivari, put the finishing touches on the violin now known as the Ex Natchez, Bach and Handel were barely into their toddler years, and the invention of the piano was still more than a decade away. The rare violin, which has passed through the hands of many an owner and virtuoso performer since that time, is still in excellent playing condition, as Yuri Becker of the Charleston Symphony Orchestra can attest. Yuri is performing Max Bruch's first violin concerto using the 17th century Stradivarius this weekend. Recently, I had the chance to sit down with him in the main reading room of the Charleston Library Society for a conversation about the historic instrument. Here are a few highlights from our talk. Yuri, thanks so much for taking some time to join me today.
Thank you, Bradley. Real pleasure.
You have a very special instrument with you, a 1686 Stradivarius violin. Can you share a little bit about it?
Yes. It's a very rare early period Stradivarius. It's called Ex Natchez Stradivarius from 1686.
And what does the Ex Natchez mean?
So violins, particularly Stradivari violins, are named after the famous owners. So at one point, there was a violinist, actually a very well-known violinist. His name is Tivadar Natchez, Hungarian. In fact, he wrote many editions of well-known violin concertos you can find. So he was the owner of this violin at one point and performed on it. And he was friends with Franz Liszt and Camille Saint-Saëns. So it's possible that those composers also heard this instrument. But he was one of the owners, and that's why it's called Ex Natchez.
And you mentioned Franz Liszt and Camille Saint-Saëns, but it goes back way before them. You said 1686.
And it comes from what is known the early period of Stradivari. And the violins are known to be during that period a little smaller. And they're very, very beautiful and very special.
I've always heard about Stradivarius violins. What exactly, say, makes that different from another make or another year? I mean, specifically, are there any properties that it has, anything in the wood, or?
Well, there's a couple of things. There are other periods of Stradivari violins. There is also known the long period, the 1690s, where the instrument's actually a little bit narrower and longer. Mm-hmm. Then there's the golden period. And the golden period, there are some really rare instruments and also the most valuable. It's known to be one of his best periods. But what makes this violin special is, of course, the sound and how many. There are only a few of them remaining. There are not very many. And there are theories of why Stradivari violins sound so good. There are several theories. One theory is, of course, his making and his abilities and talents to make and carve the instrument. Another theory is the wood that survived the miniature ice age that he used, maybe the varnish, or the patterns and of the wood and of carving. And so there are so many theories that nobody has been able to really replicate the sound.
But when you perform it, you can tell that it's something special.
Absolutely. Every time I pick it up, you hear it's incredible. It's like a Lamborghini.
So do you get nervous playing something that was made when Bach and Handel were 1 year old and the city of Charleston was about 15? I mean, does that fill you with a little bit of fear?
Well, the first time I've played this instrument on numerous occasions. The first time that I've played it, of course, I was a little nervous. But now I'm used to it. I keep a close eye on it in all ways, not just to make sure that it's well taken care of. I mean, surely I don't own it, but anybody who owns it, or we're all temporary custodians. We want this instrument or all these instruments to survive and be there for future generations. But no, I don't get nervous anymore, but I am, I guess, obsessed a little bit to make sure everything is there.
So it's not just the performing, but when you're bringing it on in the car with you or taking it someplace, you have to be extra careful.
Absolutely.
How did you pick it up? I mean, who made it possible for you to have this violin this time? You said that there's different custodians through different points.
Right. Well, this violin is owned by a family who have become friends over the years, and their names are John and Winifred Constable, and they live in Philadelphia. And they also live in Charleston on Kew Island part of the time. And about 6 years ago, they reached out to me saying that they have this violin and they like what we're doing with the symphony, and he wants to lend it out so for a fundraising event. So I reached out to him, and I went to visit the family in Philadelphia, And it was a great meeting, a long meeting, and I played for John Constable for many hours, and we had a great conversation, after which he agreed to lend it to me for a concert back in 2012. It was in the old Gilliard Center, for which I performed Everhart's violin concerto. Everhart is a composer, a Charlestonian. So, and then from then, that's how the friendship started, and he would lend me the instruments for various occasions. And so when he found out I'm playing Bruch concerto, and that's one of his favorite concertos, he said, Yuri, do you want to use violin? Would you like to use Stradivarius for Bruch? Absolutely.
So yeah. You mentioned a contemporary composer and then Max Bruch, who's a good deal older. Is the instrument versatile enough to use with a wide range of styles and eras, or is there kind of a sweet spot, a composer or a type of music, a certain genre that it really lends itself to?
It's a subjective opinion, but I think so. I would agree with you that every violin is different, and there are some pieces that would sound better on that instrument. For example, I think on this Stradivarius violin, Everhart's piece, the Max Bruch concertos are perfect, and Mozart would be perfect. Tchaikovsky would be very good. If you do in 20th century something that's a little heavier, Shostakovich, it's playable definitely, but perhaps perhaps an artist would prefer a different type of sound. That's why many of the well-known violinists throughout history owned several great violins, Stradivarius and the Guarnerius. But I think anything is possible to play in this violin.
Now, is everything on the violin from 1686? I mean, I would assume the strings have been replaced. Is the chin rest original?
No,
what's original and what's...
I think the scroll is original and the violin itself, the original. This is all, the bridge actually is brand new. It was recently restored, and it's very common, I mean, for chin rest and tailpiece to be not original at all. And necks have changed too throughout the years, and because the time when this was made is a Baroque time period, and so violins were made for music that's Baroque and pre-Baroque, mm-hmm. You know.
Maybe even performed a little bit differently? I mean, the
absolutely.
Technique.
I mean, even the bows were different back then. You know, they were more like a rainbow arch.
And you're performing some works of violin concerto here soon, as well as you'll be joining the rest of the orchestra for a Beethoven symphony. Could you fill us in a little bit about these works and any highlights of them at this upcoming concert?
The concert starts with the Ives Unanswered Question, which I'm not going to be playing in that one. I'll be warming up for the Bruch, and it's a great piece of music for, there's a trumpet feature in it and strings and a second orchestra of woodwinds. And then it'll be the Bruch Concerto, followed by that. For me personally, it's the first time playing Bruch with orchestra. This piece is special for me in many ways. For myself and for many musicians when they were young, this is the first sort of professional concerto that you learn after playing all the student works. So while this is not at all a student concerto, many students, when they make that leap and they improve, and they, all right, no more student concertos like Zeitz and Reading and all that. Yeah. It's time to play some real music. And this is Bruch is typically the first violin concerto given. And for me personally, when I was 15, that's when I learned this piece for the first time. And later on in college, there was a concerto competition, and I really wanted to participate. And it was for Bruch. And it was back in Indiana. So everybody was practicing Bruch, and I wanted to participate. So I relearned the concerto. So I learned it twice in my life. And now, but I've never played it with an orchestra. So I'm excited to play it now with Charleston Symphony. And our music director, Ken Lamb, is going to conduct. And after intermission, Beethoven 7th is one of the most popular Beethoven symphonies. It's 3, 5, 7, 9, all the odd ones that are very, very popular. And 7th is pretty awesome. And the slow movement is well known because it's in many films, most notably in the last film that I heard it in, it was King's Speech. And it's quite famous. And the first one has this really fun rhythm called Amsterdam. Dun, 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 dun. Amsterdam, Amsterdam, Amsterdam.
Makes sense.
I don't know where that came from, but it's a nice play on words.
You said you had to learn the Bruch concerto twice. Is it a different way you approach it now, or is it pretty much the same thing with a little more technical mastery?
It's absolutely different way I approach it now. And I think that with music, whether it's violin, conducting, oboe, it doesn't matter. You always keep improving. You never stop improving. You keep learning. And so here I am. I know this piece inside out, but I've been practicing it since August. And where, you know, I want to get better at it. And every time I play it, I find something new. And I find a different way of playing it. I find a new fingering that I didn't play before. Maybe it's a romantic piece, and I like slides and a little schmaltz here or there. So I do that, and perhaps I added a slide there and took away. It's really funny because I also teach this concerto a lot, and a lot of my students throughout the years play it or have played it. So in my music, I have so many different fingerings over so many options that it actually, and when I make a copy of this music for my student, it actually confuses them a little bit. So what are you doing there? I said, I don't know, let me try. And so I tried, you know, what was I thinking? This is a really terrible fingering. Let me give you a new one. So just to give an example how things evolve and how musically you change and you develop. And you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and I bet when I'm hopefully 80, I'll still be learning and practicing and finding new fingerings.
Well, I'm sure that violin has seen a lot of development for individual musicians and also for music history.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Just it's amazing to play it, and I feel that for a brief moment I'm part of this incredible history, you know?
Yuri, thanks so much for sharing about that incredible instrument and also for filling us in a little bit about the upcoming program.
Thank you, Bradley. It's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Part of a conversation I had with violinist Yuri Becker, concertmaster and principal pops conductor of the Charleston Symphony Orchestra. Yuri shared with me not only about the symphony's upcoming concert and the rare Stradivarius loaned to him, but also the sound that the historic violin can produce. Here he is performing the beginning few solo sections of Max Bruch's first concerto for the instrument. Thank you. Yuri Becker playing a few excerpts from the first movement of Max Bruch's Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor. Yuri will perform the work on a 17th century Stradivarius, joining the Charleston Symphony Orchestra for a program which also includes Beethoven's 7th Symphony and Charles Ives' The Unanswered Question. Three performances of the concert will be given this weekend at the Charleston Gilliard Center. More at charlestonsymphony.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.